You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Potecha deza Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akalise na Madiba's Radio.
Lalele I Madiba's Radio.
Ulalele Madiba's Radio.
Niko chechereza Madiba's Radio.
Uregije Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the way for you to be heard.
Welcome, welcome, my shakers. Elam ikamakuvuyelwe to work on so I but not to be your joy. And honey, as I always like to say, we give you the dose that you need and shaking it up each and every single day. And as you know, at Madiba's Radio, we love to connect, engage, and inform you, you, and you. And just like that, we're back like umqolo. But I'm never riding alone. I'm riding with my whole team in studio.
Ooh, I'm excited for this episode. But of course, to choose myself, my name is Tloke. Tell on Tlova, the bride. To start on the airwaves. Once Tlix is on your airwaves, nothing will be the same. And of Ooh. Course, it's not just two people in studio. We've got a third person, a third icon.
You thought you were getting one, two. No, you're getting three. Hello, hello. You know, it's your girl, Tumia Lewitz, but you can call me Mia. I like to keep it cute, clever, and a little bit chaotic. But you know, we are here to shake it up.
Do you remember the show like on Disney Channel?
I believed I could dance because of that show.
But I think like this is what we give all people, that we have the ability to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, I also came up with a new concept for us, and I think we should go with it going forward. You know that sound on TikTok that says twas?
Twas. I love it.
We are the week. Day shake. TWS.
Twas.
Okay, I love that.
Twas. I love that when they like do the literature again. Twas.
So that's our slogan going forward. Twas.
Twas.
If they try to steal it, we're going to sue you.
No, we're going to sue you.
Yeah.
Can I get it on a 1, 2, 3?
Twas.
Oh, it should be illegal to have all three of us here at the same time.
But you know, whenever we're on your airwaves, we bring you nothing but just laughter, joy, energy, vibes, news. And honey, today we're keeping you updated on anything and everything that you need to know. Tamia said, because she knows that hey,
it's about to go down.
It's getting spicy. Grab a glass of water, a glass of milk. It's getting your
tea. And if you're not a tea person and you like it strong, keep that whiskey right next to you.
Fuego, baby, fuego.
We are going in today. Our first one that we're talking about today is forgotten languages. And here at Madiba's Radio, this month we're celebrating, as you know, it's Heritage Month. We're celebrating all things culture, roots, tradition, and all that we are. What our aim is to go back to our roots and really going back to the issues that are currently happening in our day-to-day life, where people have lost essence of their language, culture, and tradition. I know that for a lot of us it may resonate because of the schools that we may have went to, neighborhoods that we stayed in, people that we continue to meet on a daily basis. I mean, for example, I know that I grew up in KZN, but here I am. I'm now transitioning and changing and living in the Eastern Cape. What's that like for
a
you
now? A full binar.
You get what I mean? Now I have to transition into that. And what was that like? So we're talking about all things forgotten languages. I want to know from you guys, what was your relationship with that? And who are you? Where do you come from? And do you actually even resonate with the forgotten languages topic?
I mean, for me personally, I come from Gauteng, and
Joburg.
And for me, I feel like, you know, they always say Joburg, there's so many languages, you gotta be multilingual, yada, yada, yada. But I never really related to that because, I feel like for me, like, in terms of, like, language, I've always kind of struggled in the sense of, like, with English, I grew up on English and kind of like my environments were always surrounded by English. So then now, as an adult, when it's like, okay, so it's time to speak Zulu, I'm like,
don't put me in that position.
And it's like, it's always been this complex dilemma because some days I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try. I'm going to come over. But then something happens or I like mess up and then it's embarrassing that I'm like, well, never again.
You know? That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
We're never doing
this again.
But
then it's like also not trying also doesn't do me any justice because then I don't learn and then what must happen, you know? True. So it's a challenging it's a dilemma challenging for me one. Personally. Yeah. But, you know, I feel like as time moves, it's going to get better.
And for you, Tamia, how was that like?
For me, well, it's different. I'm here from the Bay.
Ooh. A GQ girly.
A GQ girly at heart, you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, being with my mother tongue, just, you know, forgotten languages, everything, it was a bit difficult, eh? Because growing up, there's so my mother tongues are English and Afrikaans.
Yeah.
So you grow up learning both at the same time, or one is more prioritized at home because my grandma only spoke Afrikaans.
Yeah.
So either you respond in that or you respond in English, but she's only going to speak to you in Afrikaans. So it was,
She'd speak in Afrikaans and you'd have to, you wouldn't know Afrikaans that well, so you would probably like say it in English or what was the relationship like?
Definitely. Oh. So there came a point even where I was like, just not doing that good in my mother tongue. So my dad implemented this rule on a Tuesday and Thursday, we only spoke Afrikaans.
Okay.
I like that.
So it was a bit harsh at first, but afterwards you like speaking Afrikaans on your daily. Like when I go home right now, I'm going to tell my mom, I'm going to tell her, Mommy, yo, my dag hoor. Like, you know, it's you're going to be so comfortable in just dubbing, you know, you know that whole thing, code switching. But at a point, it was just, I feel like it's so important for parents to like implement that where you learn your mother tongue.
True.
And then at the same time, because your friends speak English, your friends speak all different languages. So then the universal language is English.
Yeah. Mm.
So then it's really like such a contradiction at your home life, at your school life. So it's a hard balance, but I think we all will get there eventually. And I feel the topics we're going to bring in today's episode are really going to help us like open our eyes to just learning the importance of our mother tongue, our language, our identity, our culture. They all play a big role in who we are.
You know, from everything that you guys have said, I also resonate with it because in as much as I'm actually Xhosa, but I grew up in KZN from birth up until I had to move to PE. So the transition from learning Zulu, but you're Xhosa, at home, you speak Xhosa. At home, like you said, my mom implemented this thing whereby at home, you're speaking Xhosa, so that you don't lose essence of Xhosa sako. But at the same time, at school and the people that I'm around, because KZN is filled with Zulu-speaking people, so you need to know your Zulu. So that for me was also really a challenge, because now, for some instances, like even at school, guys, there's a lot, because even school had to come into play, whereby they say to you, you're not allowed to speak isiZulu. Now you have to speak English. And to some extent, that also affects how you speak, you know, in Zulu now, because you're not allowed to be speaking in Zulu. And whenever you spoke in Zulu, you have to pay up in class.
Five rand.
And it's like, and also when you go home and you speak in your mother tongue, it's whitified.
Exactly.
You know that whole thing
when
you speak to your friends from at home, it's giving coconut.
Girl, where are you learning this from?
Exactly, because then you're not saying the x correctly, you're not saying the r's correctly, because you're coming with that English twang and all those things. It's quite a difficult thing. But I implore our parents for doing that, trying to keep us close to the culture, to the language. I can see they tried at least.
And I think the essence of it really, I think for me, as we're all dealing with this, and it's a topic for us at Madiba's Radio, is that more than anything, it's not even coming from a place of judgment, but it's also coming from a place of really wanting to understand what makes people the way that they are.
Yeah.
It's not just what you see at face value that, oh, you don't know your language, but there's more to it that I actually didn't grow up in Cape Town, so I don't know this language.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up in the Eastern Cape, so I don't know isiXhosa because I grew up in KZN. You know, there's more to what meets the eye. And I think more than anything, this conversation should really be one for really eye-opening and showing empathy and grace towards people, because people come from different journeys of life, right? But at the same time, we're not saying lose essence of who you are. We're saying you need to at least try.
I think it's a topic of deeper reflection.
Yes. You know? And as we get into our topic today, it's all about forgotten languages, right? Mm. The linguistic legacy and continuity are important for cultural preservation and functioning and anchoring identity, cultural expression, maintaining cultural continuity, and celebrating our diversity, right? And one of the things that we're actually going to speak about is the Khoisan language and just the Khoisan culture itself. Because I know Tamia shared with us actually the history behind it. And I don't know much because I really don't want to be butchering anything. But can you tell our people what really is the difference? What are these people? Who are they in essence? Where are they from? Just to give context as to what is Khoisan.
You know, it's a difficult thing because I feel like I know some of it.
Mm.
And then you go and you research again, and every time there's new information there's new history unlocked.
Yeah.
But I will say from what I've learned so far, or the information I've collected so far, the Khoisan people were with other people as well, with different clans and different races as well. But the Khoisan people, one of the original inhabitants of, say, South Africa, to be more specific.
Yeah, they were.
So they were one of the first people known on this land or documented, shall I say. So a lot of the times we're like, oh yeah, the Khoisan people, but then we don't know as ourselves, are we connected to these people because they were the original people of this land? How does that work in our ancestry, in our lineage? How does that work? But a lot of the times it's more well known, the connection between the Cape Coloured and the, I forget the name now. I will get it in a little while. But mostly known as the Cape Coloured people, who have like a direct connection to the Khoisan people. So, yeah. And some of their forgotten languages are like some of the things I can't even pronounce. It's that hard. So it's literally forgotten languages, forgotten sound, forgotten identity and culture.
Yeah.
It goes extremely deeper than just language or mother tongue.
Exactly.
It's finding who you are and who you connect to.
True.
You're in South Africa because you could be like, oh no, I'm a person of European heritage. You don't know that.
True.
You don't.
Unless you've done a 23andMe.
Then.
And you know all the 23andMe specifics.
Then let us know, honey.
Please.
Like, hit us up on our land. Like, but as you said, I love how you said there's so much more to it. For example, there's even beadwork, pattern drawing, symbols to represent a shared knowledge of a cultural belief. For example, I know with the Zulu culture, there's a certain pattern. You know when it's the Zulu culture or attire. You know when Xhosa people are there. You know when Pedi people are there. You know when the Tswanas, the Sutus, their attire means so much. There's so much historical symbols, you know, to things. And just to get into everything, that all of that in one way or another has been forgotten, especially when it comes to the Khoisan culture and the language itself.
Definitely. And I do feel like, I don't know if this was in like history, but I remember like history back in the day, it covers it, but it doesn't go into detail. I feel like a lot of South African history tends to like kind of focus on, Jan van Riebeeck came, apartheid. And you know, that's good and all, but we also need to go back. What happened before the 1600s and really get into the crust of it, you know?
True. That's some of the languages. So, as I said, the Khoisan people are the indigenous, known as the indigenous people of our land. And some of them, I don't want to butcher any of them because I tried to research how to pronounce them. Couldn't even get that.
Sure. Meaning again.
Forgotten.
It's forgotten. Forgotten. We don't know it. There aren't that. The people aren't there.
Because you see the words are in the English alphabet, but you don't want to butcher them. You don't want to be disrespectful. But I think I'll spell them out rather. And forgive me if I say anything wrong. But one of the... So you had the Khoi people. Then you had the San people. Then you had the Khoisan people as well. So one of them was Kham. I think so. It's XAM, and it is actually not a forgotten language, an extinct sound language.
Extinct. For it to even get extinct is
so
sad.
The people that spoke this language originally were the Karaiki Mensa, labeled as that, and later on they shifted to Afrikaans. So again, yes, we know Afrikaans now, but what was before that?
What was before that?
Oh. One of the other ones was Seroha, so it's S-E-R-O-A, mm-hmm. and it comes from the Drakensberg Mountains. You know those mountains?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the people, the San people from those mountains mm-hmm. spoke that language. So again, there's differences within one clan, mm-hmm. within one race.
And again, this is something that we didn't even know.
True.
Exactly. I was 2 years old when I researched this topic. So it's really such a deeper thing. Like, are we all going to become, you know, history nerds now? Because I feel like it's important to know your identity.
It is. True.
But then it's so hard because we don't have the information at our fingertips. It's not like in school.
People who speak about it.
In school where they were like, oh no, in 1800s, Jan van Riebeck came down, that's where these languages were introduced. Afrikaans is a spin-off from Dutch. You know those
you
things.
Know, yeah.
You know the surface level. But then look now, the San people had different denotations within their language itself. So it's a continuously deeper and deeper topic.
I love that.
Definitely. And I do feel like, I guess another thing is that the more we dig deep, and as much as we can discover more of our history, I guess for some people it can also be traumatizing because then
there's
it opens.
So much. I think, like you said again, that it's so traumatizing because to some people, and I know to others, maybe they don't even pay attention to this, but to some people, their culture, their surname, where their roots are, their tradition means so much. You know the history behind it. You know the people that had to die in that, you know, and you want to continue that legacy, but now to even see it getting extinct to that point, what do I do? You know, there's a lot of things that people don't even speak about. And I love how in psychology, there's different modules. For example, there's a module called cross-cultural
psychology. I'm doing that right now.
You know, and it speaks about these things whereby, for example, as we progress again in psychology, you speak about how traumatizing those things are, you know, because, again, psychology is something that covers everything, you know. So the history behind languages, again, goes deeper than what we see in the eye, where it's just, oh, you can't speak it. Oh, it's gone. Oh, extinct. That's it. But to some people, it carries so much weight, you know? And I love how Katrina, in 2023, the BBC's profile of the lost fluid Khoi sparked a much-needed conversation on the need for preservation and development of ancient language system. The documentary is available on YouTube, and it's called The Lost Speaker, South Africa's Dying Language. Imagine that.
A whole dying language. It's actually kind of sad.
It is.
I think everyone listening, should go and watch that documentary. Like, we plugged you now. Like,
we plugged you now.
It's quite important. You don't know. You can't be like, oh, no, I'm this race. It's fine. I don't. Yeah. That doesn't affect me. That's not my history.
As you're saying that, I'm also thinking, I think people should really put themselves in those shoes. So imagine the Xhosa culture was the last one. Imagine the Zulu culture was the last one. Imagine the Afrikaans culture was the
Sotho culture.
The Sotho culture. The Bedi, Tswana, Venda. Everyone, that was your last time. So really put yourself in those shoes where you're willing to learn about other cultures, understanding the significance of that, and also what would happen if your culture went to that point, really. So sometimes we really need to bring it close to home for it to click.
I agree.
Because people are very easy to forget other cultures, other languages, other traditions. But when it hits home, that's when things get personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe that's how we can make our people come to the sense that it's urgent. This is something that we should tend to very quickly, because language, again, is such an important thing, as Katrina said, something that should be preserved, something that is sacred. And, you know, to our ancestors and to the people that fought for us, died for us, they are expecting us to carry on the legacy. They're expecting us to pass on the baton to the next generation that's still to be. And we hope that anyone or any person who may be listening right now is learning from that experience, and to know that these people didn't just die for anything, but for you to continue the legacy.
And I think that comes from a want to know yourself, to know your history and where you come from. So it's really a deeper thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about knowing yourself, or just your surname and your language and all that. Have you guys heard of the new legislation?
Hey!
Constitutional Court said 10 past 4.
Tuning in.
I say Constitutional Court, what you say? Talk to me.
So, basically, for our second segment here, we're talking about the new surname amendment that happened recently. So, on the 11th of September, 2025, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I just say, 2025 is crazy.
Yeah.
Things have been happening.
Plot twist of the plot twist of the plot. What does October have for us?
Yeah.
Right, maybe
we still have 3 months to go.
Yo.
What is that thing? It wasn't on my bingo card.
Exactly.
Nothing was on my bingo card this year.
Don't you also find it crazy that they are doing this on Heritage Month?
It's a good... I think it's a good thing. Some people might think it's a bad thing.
It's not a good or bad thing. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
But it's so crazy that they just said, boom. What you gotta say now?
Say something.
Because surnames carry a lot of weight.
As we discussed. And as we will discuss further, I have some tea to spill on surnames.
We want to hear the tea, girl.
Like, spill it.
Wait, let's get into the surface level.
Okay.
So on the 11th of September 2025, the Constitution basically declared, I don't know, I'm going to get in the specific acts as well. Okay, let's
get into the law.
They declared that Section 26, with the Birth and Death Registration Act 51 of 1992, the premise violation on the grounds of gender and discrimination. So essentially, a husband can now take his wife's surname if they feel like it. So I like this. So like men, if you like your lady's surname, go ahead.
Take it.
You know what I like
it's
about this?
It's law now.
You know what I like about this? Mm. Zulu says, yimi xolela ekhaya.
Oh, what does that mean?
Yimi indoda ekhaya, meaning I am the head of this house, right? Because that's what men say.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So now I love the girlies, that the girlies are going to get to say that too to the men, that I am the head of this house.
Yeah.
And let's be real, most of the time, women are the head of the house. Like,
actually.
Most of the time, actually, let's not even lie right now.
That's even a whole other conversation.
Mother. Queen mother, love her down.
Mother. You know, this came as a shocker to me. Mm. I didn't actually know that they were going to go ahead with it. It's diabolical. I don't want to lie. Like, I was like, what?
Here's the thing. I knew about it a while because the act specifically said that there was nothing basically holding back from taking the surname.
Okay.
But then it would have to be a whole thing where you go and you petition for it and all those things to get your wife's surname. You get a lawyer and say, you know, for the sake of, I would like this surname, why, all those things. But now for it to just be a lawyer and say, yeah, it's fine. Because there was that vagueness left. Because I think it comes from the era of where it was. We were so patriarchal.
Yeah.
We were like, no, men is men. Yes. You take your man's surname. Yeah. He is the provider. He is the head of the house. You know? And that's... We lose our identity like that. We lose our language. We lose ourselves.
Yep.
Our culture. Because, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know my grandma's surname.
I just forgot about it. Because that's what you told when you get married, that forget about your past life.
You are now of him.
Yes.
Like,
why can't we be of each other?
Why can't
you know? You take mine, I take yours. Mm. There's a hyphen for a reason, guys.
I love the hyphen name. Like, the hyphen name is so iconic because, like, you both can just exist.
Two in one.
Mm.
I know she's not South African, but I respected it so much when Kim Kardashian became Kim Kardashian West.
Exactly.
I know she's not.
I'm not losing my identity.
Exactly. I am but I am of you as well. So it shows that respect for your spouse. Mm. Not for your husband or for your man, but for your partner.
Mm.
So I feel like it would be a beautiful thing to share each other's surnames, because I know in some Spanish communities as well, the child will have two surnames. You know when they have that really long name?
Jose,
Pedro, because sometimes they have the mom's surname and the dad's surname. And that's that's just a beautiful thing to have as your heritage. So now we can start doing that in South Africa as well.
Yeah.
Have two surnames.
Exactly. Because I was talking to this man one time.
This man. Yeah.
And then he said, Tamir, your surname's going to change. I said, Askis.
Is it?
Oh.
What do you mean by
that? Yamara, what do you mean, sir? I'm sorry, I am me. And then he said, no, but like, you must take my surname.
Oh.
And I said, first of all,
who are you to tell me that?
I don't see a
no ring.
I don't see 14 carats on this finger yet. And then secondly, I love my surname. Mm. It connects me to my family. I wouldn't want to forget it. I'm the oldest daughter from my dad's side. Obviously, his surname will go on with my brothers.
Yeah.
But I mean, for me, why would I just want to, you know, immediately go into someone else's family and surname? Why can't I be Luetz hyphen whatever? I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think it adds to the equality of this nation.
Yeah.
Mm. Now that men can take their wife's surname.
True. I love that. And, you know, we were also talking about, like, the pros and the cons of, obviously, the new law that's been amended. And I'd love to say the beauty of it all is really, like, the equality that is being shown. And as much as I know a lot of people really love to rave about how South Africa is terrible, South Africa is in the trenches. And in as much as there's that, there's also some good that's actually happening. You know, the fact that now this leaves a door or an opportunity to say there's equality. You can choose your man's surname. You can choose your wife's surname. You can keep your own surname. That's how it works, really, in South Africa. And that's beautiful.
True.
I think we're really one country that really embraces diversity, inclusivity, you know, and all of those things. And really, round of applause to our court, our people, you know, that are doing this, whereby we open opportunities where people can voice out and stand for what they want.
Definitely.
And for it to be okay, and we don't have to fight against that, you know. So I really love that. I don't know. Would you change? What's your view? Would you change your surname? Would you want to continue staying with your surname? Do you want to, you want the guy to take your surname?
Unpopular opinion.
Okay.
Choose the better surname.
Oh. Okay. Oh. The one that sounds cute.
You know, that sounds something. You know, so, I mean, if it rhymes, you know, choose that one.
Yeah.
Or if you like yours better. Because I saw, have you seen these TikTok videos? It's actually quite a recent thing where women change their surnames to their husband's surnames. Uh-huh. But then, for once, for example, this girl's surname was Frank. Her name was Frankie.
Yeah.
And then her husband's surname was Frank.
Oh.
Oh,
Frankie Frank.
That's a dope name.
You like it, but then dope. Some of them were weird.
Okay.
And some of them were funny. Some of them, I actually think this one dude's surname, if I don't want to say something incorrectly, but I think his surname was Grace.
Oh.
Her name was Grace.
Okay.
Grace. So why can't you either keep your surname or change if your surname is better?
Yeah.
You know, let's change to the one that is a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or let's both hyphenate. What do you guys think?
What do you think? Especially as the man of the house today.
The man in the studio.
The man in the studio.
I've always been on the hyphen life.
Oh, okay.
The hyphen life just looks so cool, just having the two surnames together and just like, yeah. Although with the hyphen life, I've always wondered, will there ever be a debate of, like, whose surname must come first?
Yeah.
Because, like, I want my surname first. No, I want my first surname first. But I feel like...
Does it even matter?
It doesn't matter because both are going to be there at the same time. You know?
It doesn't matter now. But shame, sometimes men have a complex. So let's just give them the first surname. It's fine.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like it also should go maybe alphabetical order as well.
Yeah.
You know, if it's really a debate.
But, like, sometimes it sounds nice. Like, Kardashian West.
Yeah.
Would West Kardashian sound nice? Would it have the same ring?
No.
So I feel like just have couples who are getting married. Let's just discuss this here now. Couples who are, you know, ladies, your man can take your surname now.
Yeah.
You heard it here.
Yeah.
So sit down and have a discussion. Whose surname are we taking? Are we hyphenating? If we're hyphenating, who's coming first? What? Actually have a discussion. And gents, please don't think in this beautiful day and age that you can just give your surname. And it's that.
And it's just that. No, it doesn't come that easy.
The law said. That's going to be my new thing whenever I talk to someone.
The law said.
when I talk to a guy and I'm like, so, are you down to take my surname? First things first, what are your intentions? Do you want to take my surname?
And what do you bring to the table?
What do you bring? You're joining your two houses. Mm. So it's a beautiful thing, man.
I love it. I really do. And I'm really of the opinion, call me old school. Call me old school, but I love to get my man's surname.
Okay.
Call me old school for that. that's just me. That's okay. my opinion. Especially being Xhosa African girl, right? Where culture is something that's really important and sacred, you know? And that's just my own opinion. It's not even influenced by anyone. Before the girlies come for me and say, you male sense it. No, my baby, I'm not.
Yes, it's I'm a personal not. Choice. It's though, a personal it choice, be.
You know? And how culture and tradition goes is you do give up your surname or you give up the young lady that you were, because that's how it is. It's described in culture that you were a young lady in that moment, and now you're transitioning to womanhood, and you're about to be a wife, you're about to be a mother, and you're going to grow the surname in that family now. But that doesn't necessarily mean to me that I'm neglecting the Nzwaiba family.
Yeah.
No. That family will always be my first family. Yes. Like, that's home, you know? And again, I think it goes with what works for you and the dynamics of your partner, you and your husband. Your husband needs to understand that I'm still Nzwaiba. I'm still Nzwaiba, and that will never change, you know? If you want to leave the Nzwaiba, leave it. That's what works for you, I guess. But as for me and my house, no, no, no. The Nzwaibas are not going anywhere, honey. When I'm getting married to whoever, I'm still going to be there. I want to be there. I want to be serving there. That's my new family. That's the family that I'm cultivating now and creating my own legacy for myself. And I think that's the beauty of tradition going forward, you know? So I guess even the whole constitutional court and the law that's been amended really again opens the door for people to do what they want to do.
Inclusion. I think we are pro-choice on surnames.
Yes.
As long as you decided you want to keep yours, you want to take your man's, you want to take your lady's, do what you want
to
do.
And even to that guy, it doesn't make you, I know a lot of people have been bashing men lately that it means you're gay, you're soft for that. No. You want to take your woman's surname? Take your woman's surname. That's what works for you. And that at the end of the day, you are going to be with your wife.
Not everybody else.
Not everybody
else. They are not in your house. They are not married to you.
They're not married to you. You know what you and your wife get up to.
It's not clocking to you. It's not clocking. Standing on business.
You know? So really, do what works for you. You want to take your man's surname? Take it. You want to take your woman's surname? Take it. You want to join the surname? Do that.
Create a new one even.
Create a new one. You want it. You want to remain with your own surname? Because there's also that, where people are still married, but still have their own surnames.
And, you know, getting a bit more serious now. I just want to introduce this thing that I was basically this year old, or like, I learned it quite recently on the topic of surnames and whether you're going to change it or not, and knowing the history of your own surname, where it comes from.
So that's
from.
Also important, actually. Yeah.
Because that's you can't just say, no, you must take my surname. Do you know where it's derived from? Do you know who gave it to you? Do you know how it came into your family?
Yeah.
So one of the things I recently learned was that during the colonial time, shall I say, surnames, I'm going to give you the proper Google definition now, because I don't want to go off topic or say something wrong that might offend someone. This is from the research that I got. So surnames that are the same as months, so you know, September, January,
November,
you know, some of those surnames.
November, her name was November.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, her name.
Well, it's okay, that's beautiful.
Okay, what do you have for us?
Surnames that are the same as months of the year in South Africa do derive from slavery.
Okay. So why is that so?
So specifically from the practice of enslavers, they renamed enslaved people after the month they were sold or arrived in the Cape. So this was to basically strip them of their identity, strip them of their originality of who they are as a person, because we're saying surnames carry such importance to oneself. So this was all part of the plot or part of the ploy to really take away what you know of yourself and who you are. So it's it's truly a deeper thing, you know. So these calendar based names such as September or October served as a form of identification for the enslaved, who were considered property and had no say in the names given to them. So if you were brought, we know there were people brought from Eastern Europe, Western Europe, a lot of the times. Southern Europe, Malaysia, all these places, if you go look at a deeper check in your history, they were all brought to the Cape. Some of these people, surnames were taken away and they were given the surname of the month they arrived. If you know a September, I'm not saying that's what happened or that's, you know, your familial history, but maybe we should take a deeper look into things just so we can know and understand ourselves, because this is something very interesting, but it's a hard fact to swallow, I think, for a lot of people who have these surnames or know someone. It's something quite shocking. I think.
And you know, from what you're saying, I can also imagine the trauma that these people even go through. Imagine every single day you have to hear that you're a November, you're a September, and the history that it carries, you know.
That it just takes you back to that moment, that time, that month specifically. It's such a deep, horrible thing, actually.
And these people, they're saying it, and they don't know. It's not because they're just saying it because they know. They're saying it because it's your surname or it's your name, you know, but to you it brings so much history. And you know, I think it also begs the question, or the conversation otherwise, of should we really ask people the depth of their names and their surnames as well?
Because sometimes it's an uncomfortable situation, it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. But I think being the Rainbow Nation and knowing our past and our history, where we come from, what we've been through, it's truly important to know yourself. So go do that 23andMe. Go do the deep dive, the history books. Check what your surname means, where it came from. If it ends at a certain point, a person who came from wherever during the 1800s, go do a deeper dive on them, what boat they came on, what country they came from. You know? Like, actually try and research yourself so that you don't just walk around and be like, yeah, this is me, this is who I am. But you know yourself. And sometimes I feel like this was, because this wasn't an obvious thing. I didn't learn this in school. Did you learn this in history?
No.
When they were teaching about colonization, when they were teaching us about apartheid. This seems like a very important factor.
You see?
As someone sitting in the classroom with the surname October or the surname September, don't you think you should know this? You should learn this.
I love that. You know, and as you say that, even I'm remembering like one of the assignments that I have. It has to do linking psychology and African perspectives. So African perspectives also links with the history behind the things that we're supposed to do at certain ages. So for example, I don't know if you've seen, like for Xhosa people, Xhosa men, when you get to the age of 18, uzokweluka, you go to the mountains, because now you're transitioning into a certain you know, era. So again, it goes back to learning culture, and culture that is African. What makes us here in South Africa, what makes us be the people that we are here in Mzansi, you know. As you said, you know, these people come from slavery. We didn't even know that, you know, and they're residing right here in Africa. What's the history behind? We don't even know that, you know. So let's go into the depths of really, where's it coming from? What's the understanding of this? Oh, this is how you guys do it? Oh, wow, let me know more. Let's really immerse ourselves into people's cultures, whether you're African or not, whether you're Zulu or not. Just really always be willing to learn. I always say that life is a sponge. Life is a sponge. Absorb it. Absorb every piece of information. Absorb each and every conversation. The person that you're going to meet at the cafeteria, have that conversation with them, okay? Just have the conversation. They're going to say that one thing that stands out. And you'll find that, oh my gosh, he actually made my day. I didn't know that, oh my goodness, someone like this, like that, or who comes from there and there and there, can impact my life like this, like this, like this.
Yes.
Now I have a story to tell. Really.
And I think these topics, they don't come from a place of hate or from a place of, you know, you go figure yourself out. No, it comes, we touching on this topic during Heritage Month. We all are saying, oh yes, no, I'm this culture, I'm this culture. I can say, oh, I'm Indian, I'm this, that. But am I truly in touch with my culture? Am I in touch with my heritage? Do I know my family members who were these nationalities or these cultures that somehow passed them down to me? So it comes from a place of love. I feel, here at Madiba's Radio, to help us identify ourselves within the Rainbow Nation.
Yeah, true.
Definitely. And I feel like, so, random question, how does one go about doing that journey? Like, because when you think about, okay, there's 23andMe, and there's, like, also the internet, but, like, also, I feel like, at the same time, because, like, a lot of these things kind of had taken place prior to technology, and, like, maybe you need to talk to certain people, maybe you need to, like, talk to certain, like, elders, but, you know, unfortunately, some elders are no longer with us. So, it's like, how does one go about doing that?
And I feel like it's important when we come to the point of, yes, you said 23andMe, money.
Ish, that's another thing.
US dollars. Yo. Dollars.
The dollar.
Ish, the currency is a bit low, yeah. The rand is a bit low.
Ish.
But, yeah, we move. Because, like, the same as me. My grandmother passed away. I can't ask her now. What is our heritage? What is our history? How did we come to this specific part of my nationality? Because this is how it goes down, guys. My mom tells me, oh, yes. Your great grandmother, she was a slave. She was West African and European. Okay, that's a piece of the puzzle. Next, my mother tells me your great great grandfather actually escaped from Germany during the genocide. Okay, then my mom's surname is Scott. Part of a family derived from Scotland as well. So you're picking up the pieces here and there. And then from my dad's side, our surname is Lutz. So, okay, we've derived from Dutch people, Netherlands as well, all those things. But then it's still such a messy pool of different people. Do you know? Because I'm speaking specifically from the perspective of a colored person now. I know some people maybe are more, they have that family history book that tells them exact details of who they are. But in the sense, I don't have that. I just have word of mouth. My grandparents telling my mom this. My mom passes down. She's like, oh, no, this is what your grandparents told me, who we are, who we come from. But, like, how do you truly go about it? And I know in Cape Town, don't they have that family or heritage book, right?
Yeah.
That, like, with the surname, who all, you know, it comes from, all those things. So I think... let's all go to Cape Town, guys.
Once and just like looking like, oh, okay.
I think that's where we can start as South Africans. If we can't find our surnames there, I don't know.
I don't know, man. I think really, for me, I would say conversations. That's for me. I love having conversations. I love listening to people. I love sucking out knowledge. As I said, I'm just a sponge. I'm always willing to learn things. So really immerse yourself in people's world. Have conversations with that random stranger. Know, oh, you came from here, there and there. Oh my gosh, tell me more. You know, you learn more things that way. And even now bringing it closer to home, you want to understand the Xhosa culture. Okay. So mom, dad, they may not even know the full depth of it. So now let's go back to our grannies.
And
you know, great great grannies, you know, let's go to the what is it called? The photo books, the albums that we have where people actually even show you that, oh, this was your great grandmother who did this and this and this and this and this. You know, that's a beautiful way also of keeping tradition alive, keeping family alive, keeping the culture of a home and just really the essence of who you are alive. So I think for me, that would definitely be one way of us really still preserving those things and going about finding out more. You know, about it. What would you do?
I feel like, it's a typical question because I do feel like the photo book life, I feel like it's important because at the end of the day, guys, we can take photos with our phones and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know. I feel like a photo lasts longer than like a photo on the phone because, you know, your phone can glitch. That photo's gone forever.
It can be stolen. There's so many things.
You're running out of space, no more. But so I feel like the album just has everything. But then also with the album now, printing money. Who's going to keep the album?
God, I love it so much.
That's the thing.
Do a mini photo shoot at home. Yeah. Let's get our families. Let's dress in our traditional clothing.
Let's bring back albums, guys.
You know.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to do home videos on a camera.
Yeah.
You know.
I love that.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
From my 5th birthday, you start seeing photo pictures. on the phone. Mm. But then you see all the ones before it has those numbers there at the bottom. Mm-hmm. I love those.
You see? And, you know, like, I think it really brings us to the essence of preserve your culture, preserve your family. That's important to you, you know, sacred to each and every one of
have
us.
Have that reflection.
Mm. Definitely. And speaking about reflection, hey, you know, the state of the world right now. It's looking a bit tricky because if you didn't know recently, the American right-wing political activist, Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
Charlie has left our planet Earth.
R.I.P.
Hey, R.I.P.
No, really, our condolences. Hey.
Yeah. And now there's a lot of debate because, you know, him being a right-wing politician, depending on, like, you know, your own political values, where you stand.
Yes.
Some people may say that, you know what, he should have gone out because he was controversial.
Mm.
Others are like, but that doesn't justify anything.
Mm.
Others are like, hashtag save them. Like, it really depends on your own beliefs. Mm-hmm. But there's just this whole debate on social media of, like, is it ethical to kill somebody because of, you know, you don't agree with their political ideologies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or is it, it's okay, basically. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Well, what I can do is suck right now.
You know, just deep breaths. I don't even drink whiskey, but... You know, I would say, please give me a glass of whiskey, because this one is it's a difficult one. You know those it scenes is, like in movies whereby they pour their brandy and they just like, gulp it. Like, hey, it's a stressful day.
It's really, that's a tough question.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But I would say, coming from a, and please guys, don't cancel me. We all... That should be the slogan of this episode.
Don't cancel
us, please. Me, anybody, please don't cancel us. Just, you know, it's a, we live in a space where we can give our opinion very easily online.
Yeah.
Millions of people around the world, if they stumble upon your videos, on your vlogs, on your podcasts,
yeah,
they hear your opinion.
I mean, you're on a podcast.
And it's like, exactly, and it's become a norm to just give your opinion.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, people don't care. Mm. So it's that way you don't agree. A lot of people don't agree, you cancel them.
Mm.
Cool, sure. Like I just said, don't cancel me, please. But, you know, you cancel the person, okay, good and well.
Mm.
They come back after a few months, they send the apology video, it's all simple. But do you think it's really necessary to unalive someone, shall I say, for their opinion and for their beliefs? Because we all have different beliefs, we all have different views, and I understand it can get really tough where people are so mean. They're so horrible to the people that go against their beliefs. But are we as a society, as the human society, really going to, you know, make someone no longer exist because of their opinion?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Is that something we're going to do now?
Mm.
Is that is it justified?
Mm.
Is the question. And I really think it's everyone's going to have their own opinion on it. Mm. Everyone's going to have their beliefs on it. And they're going to make it public opinion. And then again, it's going to be a continuous cycle now.
Mm.
Where every time we don't like the opinion of someone.
Unalive.
You know, like.
Cut the show. Cut the show.
You know, from what you're saying, I really get it. I get it. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about the conversation, but I always say, even when it happened, I said, people really need to tell their truth. Stand by your truth. That's it. Don't be all wobbly and you just here and there. It's either you here or there. That's just that, you know? And I'm of the opinion that he said a lot of controversial stuff. As a Christian, as someone who's deeply rooted in Christ, I don't think some of the things that he said were things that were Christian-like. You know, it's not a character of Christ. So I didn't even see someone who was resembling that. Let's start there. And then the political stance as well just carried a lot of violence. You know, a lot of violence, a lot of hate, a lot of homophobia, you know, people... guys, it was just, it was horrible.
Yeah, it was a lot.
It was horrible. But again, like Tamia said, you know, that's never a reason to analyze someone. You know, it's never a reason to analyze someone because you have a different stance on their opinions or their beliefs or whatever, really. Mm. But it's also crazy that the very same thing that he was, you know, pro for is the same thing that also ended his life.
True.
You know? And I wonder, I wish I could go have a conversation with him right now. And, you know, and just say, did you expect this to happen to you?
You know?
Were you okay with it happening to you?
I mean, you can interview the tombstone, like...
Aish! That's
so bad. Hi, guys.
You know? But, yeah, no, it's never really a valid reason as to you should kill a person.
Mm.
But again, I don't agree with his ideologies and his political stance. It's never something that I'll agree with.
And Vuyo, that is your opinion.
That is my opinion. That's just that on that.
That's your opinion.
You know, but it's never a reason to kill someone.
Mm.
Never a reason to kill someone. So I really wonder to what extent did it even get to for someone to want to kill him like that because of his stance? Was it even because of his stance?
We should all just be, I continue to say pro-love, pro-kindness.
Yes.
No matter what a person's opinion is, whatever, if they do something unlawful, please, guys, let us petition for the law to handle it.
Mm.
I know it's a difficult situation because sometimes the law, the constitution, everything, it fails you. It doesn't protect you sometimes. But should we take it into our own hands and harm someone else?
Mm.
Should we have that on our conscience?
Mm.
I don't know if this counts as a counter-argument,
okay.
But I think one thought I've always thought is the fact that, like, in as much as I do feel like, you know, us as human beings, we shouldn't, like, go out and take other people's lives and, you know, we should have that eternal love and eternal, like, understanding. At the same time, what happens when somebody's ideology, like, yes, it is their opinion and it is their truth, but through their ideologies and through them spreading their opinion, it basically causes violence. It permits violence. Because do we just be like, you know what, you're an okay person, but like, you're basically, from what you're saying, you're allowing horrible things to happen, type of thing. And it's like,
I get you.
Should we allow you to speak, but you're causing damage? Or not to say that you deserve to be like unalive, but you know, in that such situation where, you know,
you know what I think if you're going to stand by that, be able to stomach it as well when it happens to you.
Oh, yes.
You stand by that. Mm. Okay, great. So when it happens to you, it must be amazing then.
Mm.
Because you pro-violence, then let's be pro-violent to you too.
You know?
Because you like that. You want a system that operates like that. That's what you said. So don't be scared when it happens to you then.
Mm.
Or when it happens to people close to you. So that's your opinion, right? Yeah. And I always say, if it's your opinion, stand by it. Stand by it. You said you're okay with people getting killed. It's okay. Then maybe it's okay when someone close to you also gets killed. Let's bring it closer.
This is true.
It's okay when it happens to other people because it doesn't affect you.
Mm.
But when it hits home, no. Don't kill anyone next to me. So it's like, okay, you are really like, you're not showing where your stance is. I don't get it.
You're picking and choosing who's allowed to pass on, who's not, and it's like...
It really contradicts everything that you're saying.
But then it brings that conversation to a head as well. Is it hate speech or is it expression?
Hate speech.
Yeah.
You answered so quickly.
Hate speech. From everything that man has said, it's hate speech.
Hate speech through.
Through and through. From him being homophobic, to him being transphobic, to him being pro-guns and pro-violence. That alone, let's just talk about being pro-guns and violence.
Yay!
That's violence. That's not an expression.
And it's a question of, like, if you're pro-violence, are you willing to go to war? And willing to go to war and
die,
you know?
Or are you only saying that for other people's lives, excluding yours?
Wait, now the specifics, because I didn't hear that part. It was pro-guns.
Yeah!
I just know about being the you know, the anti, you know, LGBT. I knew about that, but I didn't hear the extent of pro-guns, pro-violence.
The Palestinians even going through what they're going through. It wasn't even an that's what I'm saying. It wasn't an expression. It was an expression.
You showed me right now. It was you hating on people.
It was you promoting violence. Mm. Being okay with violence taking place. So is that a good person?
I actually really want to hear the opinion of our listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm being like so serious right now because this is very controversial. This is a big conversation and I would love listeners, are you listening? Like, I actually want their opinions on this because this is a deeper topic, guys.
And it's
like, how can you be in favor of a genocide?
Literally.
You get what I mean?
No matter what people did, there are lives, there are kids' lives who've barely even begun.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And the conversation itself, even, it's so layered. It is so layered from gender equality and expression to the Palestinians and Israelites. That alone, for me, it raises such a question mark as a Christian community.
Mm.
As a Christian community, you're commanded to love. You're commanded to be love. And that's how you treat people?
Hmm.
That now contradicts everything that Christianity is all about. How do you then call yourself a Christian?
True. Especially the constant scapegoat of like, I can do bad things, but because let me save myself. Exactly. Or let me, you know, pray.
And now even puts the Christian community at a stance of, you guys are hypocrites.
Literally.
You're like hypocrites. Because this person that raises himself as a Christian man, this is what he does. But you guys say you'll do this. Contradicts everything. And this is exactly why people don't even want to get into Christianity. Or even any sort of faith. Any sort of faith. Because it has all of these topics that we're speaking about right now. There's so much more that is layered. And again, we're not saying that this man was supposed to die. No. Not supposed to die.
Yeah.
But again, we're not promoting violence. Mm. We're not promoting violence. We're not promoting ending of lives. We're not promoting anyone harm. You know, hate speech, all of those things shouldn't be promoted. But also at the same time, we need to be careful of the things that we say.
And deal with the consequences when they come. Because sometimes the consequence is going to look... it's going to look tricky, so you're going to have to accept it.
You're going to have to accept it.
So if it's that, then...
It's looking very shaky and still more stories unfolding, but obviously we're going to keep you in the loop, my shakers. And of course, that brings us to the end of our episode.
We brought you some details. We brought you some good things. We brought you some bad things. We brought you some controversial things.
Might get cancelled.
All around. Please don't cancel us.
Don't cancel us. I'm just a girl.
No, we're not ready for
just a girl.
Not ready for the apology videos.
We just want to know from you, our shakers. What do you think? From Forgotten Languages, what is your opinion on it? Express to us on our Instagram at Madiba's Radio. We also went into all things the new amendment law that is there. Do you want to change
the history of our surname?
You know, like, we want to hear you, girls. Like, do you want to keep your surname? And your man better get your surname. Or you want to keep your man's surname? Or you just want to be you and that's just that? And lastly, what is your opinion on what happened on Charlie Kirk? Obviously, an ongoing story that is still going to be spoken about for ages, like to think.
This is a moment in history.
This was like,
it's layered.
Like the whole country went, not even just South Africa.
The
whole world just went boom, 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 boom. You know? So obviously we want to hear from you. Let us know on our Instagram, TikTok, and our Facebook at Madiba's Radio. And of course, from me to you, it's all love. Elam ekamangovi twakwanzai, but now to be your joy. And you know, when I'm on your airwaves, it's just nothing but joy, joy, joy.
Period. And of course, my name is Tsoka Telondlovu. And why did I forget my tagline right now?
Because we've had a jam-packed show.
Exactly. It was too good. It's been too much. But of course, Brightest Star on radio. And of course, it's been an amazing episode. I love conversations like this. I love it when we get triggered even.
You know? Hey,
we're debating. We're like, the facial expression.
Hey, it was hot and heated.
And you know, it's your girl, Chimia Luetz. But you know, you call me Mia. And today, we really kept it cute. We did keep it clean. classy and a little bit chaotic, and we truly did shake it up. So shakers, let us know, what are your opinions? And let us go out with our new slogan from Vuyo. 1, 2, 3, TWAS!
What's up, it's Coolie Chana.
How many more licks will it take till I get to the Senegal? Cause I've been at it since the fucker past 18.
Yo, this your boy Ricky Rich.
Oh, I love a Zulu girl. Oh, I say, oh, 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 I love a Zulu girl.
Yo, what up, this is Questa. That's all. All the stars. This is Madiba's